We now bring to these microphones David James. David and I have a weekly conversation. We choose an issue to look at in light of what the Bible has to say about that particular issue, and we do it as a service for the Christian community, so we'll know how to respond to the issue from a biblical perspective. David, a couple of weeks ago, I discussed the opening of the Ark Encounter, and I did that with Answers in Genesis founder and president Ken Ham. On Thursday of this last week, the Ark Encounter opened its doors to the general public. Now, by the way, that interview that I did with Ken Ham is posted on my website, prophecytoday.com. It's under Must Listen, and it's one of those must listen items that you can eavesdrop on the conversation I had with Ken a couple of weeks ago. But for those who may have missed that Ken Ham interview, David, it might be good to talk a bit about the Ark Encounter.
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, Ken Ham is the founder and president of Answers in Genesis, and back in 2007, our listeners probably remember the opening of the Creation Museum, and they just opened the Ark Encounter. It's about a 40-minute drive from the Creation Museum. The Ark is a replica, a full-size replica of Noah's Ark based upon biblical dimensions of the royal cubit, so that makes it 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, and 51 feet high. It has three stories inside, and it has mock-ups, replicas, models of animals that represent the kinds that would have been on the Ark. And Ken has written on the website and spoken publicly that this is all about ministry. It's not about entertainment. It's about ministry. And they estimate that maybe as many as 40% of the annual visitors may be non-believers, and they're anticipating in the first year between 1.5 and 2 million visitors possibly.
Wow, what a ministry opportunity for Answers in Genesis and their Ark Encounter. Well, this last week there was a special preview for a number of invited guests, David.
Well, that's right. According to estimates, they were expecting over 7,000. It turns out that maybe over 8,500 actually ended up going by special invitation. And in fact, the pastor of our home church in Paris, Illinois, was there as one of those invited guests. He was there on both Tuesday and Wednesday. And I just talked with him this morning, asking him about his impressions of what he saw. He was there for the ribbon cutting on Tuesday and a quick tour, and then on a more in-depth tour on Wednesday. The main word that he kept saying over and over was, it is amazing. The size is staggering. He says it's very, very well done. He says, of course, they had to fill in some gaps because, and there's a bit of speculation about the way things were done and what the way they might have looked like and things like that, but they make it clear that they are speculating on those points. He said it's a conservative, biblical representation. They tried to make sure that they matched the biblical text, and he says they've just done an excellent job.
David, the opening of the Ark Encounter seems to have generated a lot of interest in the media. What kind of coverage has it been getting?
Well, there have been articles in many publications here in the U.S., and many articles on the Internet. There were just a couple of nights ago, there was coverage by, I believe it was NBC Nightly News, and maybe there were on others as well. It certainly had international coverage as well, making front page headlines of some newspapers. So it certainly has been receiving a lot of attention, but a lot of it has also been negative as well. In fact, I would say the majority of it, even though they try to present the facts of what's there, they certainly put things with a negative spin on it because the world simply does not accept the biblical account and the fact that the world is young, only about 6,000 years old.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you continue after the article to read some of the comments? And what has been the general reaction, favorable or critical?
Well, yes, and when I do read articles, whenever I'm doing a research, I'm always interested to see what the people in general are thinking, and it has been overwhelming. I would say 100-1. I don't think that's an exaggeration. 100-1, cynical people talking about how ignorant the people are. Let me just give you a couple examples. One commenter said, I'm just astonished that so many people can believe in such incredibly ridiculous ideas that have no basis in fact or reality. Another person wrote this, the vastness of people's stupidity is astonishing. And that is certainly representative of almost all of the comments that all of the articles are getting.
Now, David, I know you have a background in engineering. How do you respond to those who say that those who believe the Earth is around 6,000 years old or that there was a global flood are ignorant anti-science zealots? What do you say?
Well, I would say that it's absolutely not true. There is scientific basis for the global flood, and in fact, a global flood and all of the hydraulics involved with that, all the changes that took place with the face of the Earth, with the waters of the deep being opened and this amount of water moving around, it seems to be clear, as Ken Ham puts it, that what we see as the fossil record in layers seems to actually be more accurately a record of a graveyard that is left by a flood of these proportions. A lot of the things that people talk about concerning science and evolution, concerning the age of the Earth, the age of the universe, and the process of evolution, they have as many problems, or more problems, I would say, from a scientific perspective, and they go way beyond what is a scientific method and get into the realm of speculation that actually has no basis in fact or scientific method. So if we're going to choose between the two, I, with that my background and others with background in science and engineering would agree, maybe not a lot, but we would agree that it is reasonable to believe the biblical account.
Well, obviously, the Ministry of Prophecy today focuses primarily on the prophetic word of God. So just how important, in your opinion, is it to study Bible prophecy and then at the same time take chapter 1 of Genesis actually literally?
Well, I think it's extremely important. You know, one, the first prophecy in the Bible is Genesis 3:15, which promises someone who will be the offspring of the woman who will ultimately defeat Satan, and we understand that is the first prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of Genesis 3:15 is that Jesus is the coming Redeemer, the Messiah of the world. And we also know that, for example, in Isaiah chapter 54, beginning in verse 9, the Lord is talking about his promises to Israel, and he said, this is like the waters of Noah to me. And he says, my covenant of peace will not be removed from Israel, and it's based upon what he said, what happened at the flood and his giving of a promise with the rainbow. And so he ties Israel's future to that. Also, Matthew 24, the Olivet Discourse, Jesus talks about the fact at the time of his coming, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. So there is incredible prophetic significance.
Not only is Genesis 3:15 prophetic, as we all recognize, but the flood also has some tremendous prophetic significance, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does. I listened to your discussion with Ken Ham concerning 2 Peter chapter 3, and there Peter talks about the fact that in the last days there will be scoffers, mockers who will come saying that the Lord Jesus, because it's been over 2,000 years or it's been a long time, that people have been saying he's coming for a long time, he hasn't come, and so since it's been a long time, they just scoff the idea that he's ever coming. But Peter writes and says in verse 5 of 2 Peter 3, he says, they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. So Peter says that the scoffing that comes from mocking the idea of the return of the Lord is directly tied to their willful ignorance and their mocking of the idea that there was a worldwide flood. So when you go back to the historicity of Genesis 1 through 11, Jesus speaks of that as an historical event. And what we see today is Peter talking about this in 2 Peter 3, it's clear that the flood has absolute significance. And I would say one other thing, the sign of the covenant of God with Noah, the Noahic covenant, it's still in effect. he says in Genesis 9, it's an everlasting covenant. We're still under that. And when we see the rainbow, it's a reminder not only that God won't judge the world by flood again, but it's also a reminder that he did judge it once, was able to destroy it. The same God who was able to bring that judgment is not going to bring it by water next time, but in 2 Peter 3, he makes it clear that next judgment will be by fire. So it's incredibly significant.
Wow, yes, indeed it is. And, you know, even the negative reaction against the Ark encounter has been a very literal fulfillment of prophecy concerning the last days, hasn't it?
Well, it sure is. I mean, again, going back to 2 Peter 3, we're talking about the scoffers that will come. There was a New York Times article that I read, which I would have to say it went far beyond a journalism and a reporting, but it moved into the area of sarcasm and derision, and it was definitely, here you have a national publication, one of the largest and most well-known in the United States, took a position of the scoffing that Peter talks about in 2 Peter 3.
So indeed, there is that connection between Bible prophecy and the Ark encounter. That's one of the things that thrilled me about this new project that has just opened up for Answers in Genesis, the Ark encounter there just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. David, thank you so much for doing the research. Man, I can't wait to get down there. Hope you and I could maybe visit it together, but it'll be a great opportunity for everybody in the United States and from around the world to make certain that they make a time to visit the Ark Encounter there under the auspices of Answers in Genesis. Thank you for the discussion. We'll have another one next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Great to be with you again.